You know, one thing that really struck me this year is that everything just looks better. Even the documentaries have become much more cinematic. And I think a lot of that has to do with digital filmmaking. There's some really nice cameras out there now, like the Red Camera, that a lot of filmmakers, both narrative fictional films and nonfiction documentaries, are using. Also things like Steadicam shots and like shallow depth of field and some really clever editing for the documentaries. It's been really impressive to see a real kind of cinematic look for a lot of these documentaries.
All right. So you're talking mostly about documentaries, and you're talking about equipment that sounds kind of elaborate to me. And I don't usually associate documentaries with big budgets and being able to buy some of this equipment. So what's going on there?
Well, I think one thing that's happening is that as this digital technology gets better and more people use it, it gets cheaper. And the other thing that I think you're seeing a lot this year and in the past couple of years is the advent of crowdsource funding for documentaries and narrative films as well. Places like Kickstarter, where you can put up a quick trailer or pitch to fans online and raise money. And you see that in a lot of these projects.
So certainly Kickstarter is one way that a film's going to get some buzz when people are hearing that it's looking for funding. What are some of the films after production? They've been funded, they've been done, that have been getting buzz during South by Southwest Film?
You know, there's one that really stands out, and it's kind of bizarre.
Okay, what is that one?
It's called Upstream Color. This is a strange science fiction story, and it involves telepathy and pig rancher and some really amazing, beautiful cinematography as well.
The water before you is somehow special. It is better than anything you've ever tasted. Each drink is better than the last.
There are some sequences in there that are kind of reminiscent of this very famous director here in Texas, Terrence Malick, who's done films like A New World and Tree of Life. And it's really caught on with a lot of people. I can't say that it did for myself, but people are going to see it multiple times at this festival. I mean, it's already screened at Sundance. I know it's screened in L.A. People are kind of trying to see it more than once to see if they can figure out what's actually going on.
So this is a film that stood out for a lot of people who came to South by Southwest Film. I'm just curious, you saw a lot of the films that have been screening for the past week or so. What are some of the ones that stood out for you?
One that I can't get out of my head, it was a documentary. It's called Maiden Trip.
Oh, why can't you get it out of your head?
I grew up sailing, and this is a story about a girl from the Netherlands who, at the age of 14, set out to sail around the world by herself.
12 months after she set sail from this tiny Caribbean island, Laura Decker calmly steered her yacht, Guppy, back into port.
She's an amazing individual, but she's also kind of searching for her childhood while growing up into an adult. Pretty family-friendly, except for the fact that she has a tendency to curse.
When you look at the listings for the films at South by Southwest, there's always a pretty healthy listing of documentaries actually focused on music. Any of those that kind of stood out for you?
Sure. There were some great music documentaries this year. One that really stands out is called Muscle Shoals. And it's about this group of musicians and a producer and studios in this kind of random small town in Alabama, where some of the great tracks of the 60s and 70s were produced and recorded. The session players were kind of these young white guys, and everyone was hearing this sound and associating it with soul music. Artists recorded there like Wilson Pickett and Aretha Franklin, Etta James. And the story behind these guys and how it grew to such fame, you know, other artists ended up recording there like the Rolling Stones, the Allman Brothers, even Lynyrd Skynyrd. So it's kind of this great piece of music history that you probably didn't know much about before. Beautiful film.
So another aspect of music that people often don't know about are backup singers. I mean, we see them, we hear them, and they add a lot to a performance, but we usually can't name them. We don't really know who they are. But there's a documentary that kind of brings them forward into the spotlight a little.
Yeah, it's really great. It's called 20 Feet from Stardom. And it looks at some of the great backup singers of all time, which I had never heard of many of them, and I'm guessing most people hadn't either. Some of them would actually end up singing the lead vocals for tracks but not get credit for it. And this documentary is great because I think it really shows you the importance of backup singers. A lot of times, if you sing along to a song, you're probably singing the backup singer part. And some songs that have become hits, you know, the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter, you know, that amazing female vocal on that is actually a backup singer that's heavily featured in the film.
Is this the time? Is this the time?
another great backup singer that you get to hear her story, and she's a wonderful personality, is Darlene Love, who you might remember from the Phil Spector Christmas album. And she's actually going to be performing at a screening of the film tonight at the Paramount.
KUT's Terrence Henry has been covering South by Southwest film for KUT. And you'll find lots more coverage online at KUTnews.org.